What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Kane Collects. As always, guys, appreciate all the support, all the downloads, all the follows, subscribes, all that stuff. As you already know, download anywhere you get your podcasts, Odyssey, Apple, Amazon, Spotify, and let somebody know if you enjoy the podcast. It really helps everything out a lot more. And let's get right to it. Our next guest, I got two guests on this week's episode. I've got Jake Kruk from Kruk Cards and Big Moss, also from Kruk Cards. These two guys, you may have known, if you've seen it, they do a lot of eBay live weekly sales for Kruk Cards. Jake and Moss usually are the two guys running that. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us, dude.
I appreciate it, King.
Absolutely. Yeah, so let's get right to that first before we get into a bunch of other stuff. The eBay live stuff, Kruk Cards. It's usually weekly. Can you let people know what time, what day? Is it always that time and day? And how do they get on and buy stuff from you guys?
Yeah, man. It's Wednesdays, 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're gonna play around with that time as summer's coming around, but typically it should be 6 o'clock Wednesdays. But you know, summer's here, so now everyone wants to be outside until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock when it gets dark. So if our shows are a little dead, we might move them to 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. But as of now, we're still dialed in at that 6 o'clock, Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. That's actually how we met you.
Yep, yeah, it is. Exactly.
I stumbled upon it. So guys, Kruk Cards, it's K-R-U-K, by the way, on eBay. And you get alerts. I got alerts. That's how I found out about it. I follow you guys. You guys are a great seller. You guys have tons of stuff. I mean, people, you don't know already, they've got stuff from cards to programs to magazines to jerseys to hats. I mean, it's an insane amount. It's a literal warehouse. I've been lucky enough to stop by because it's not a card shop, so don't try to go in there and buy stuff from them. It's a warehouse that they use to sell everything online for the most part. And Moss, I know you're a big jersey guy, and you guys sell a lot of jerseys and stuff like that on the eBay live show, right?
Yeah. Oh, we sell anything from retail stuff to game worn products, just anything that we have, hats, t-shirts, footballs, basically anything that was bought from a team directly. So it's very interesting, the different kind of stuff we have for our audience.
Yeah, so like for people that don't know, like you can go to like Kroger or Meijer, wherever, and get like, you know, a t-shirt or a jersey, whatever, but there's a difference between you when you get team issued things and obviously game worn stuff. That's completely different ballpark, you know, that the quality of that stuff. Moss, can you let them know about what you guys are getting?
Yeah, I mean,
teams.
Yeah, we buy a lot from different teams across the United States, and the quality of the stuff that, you know, comes directly from the teams is not like a retail jersey that you go and get from Dick's. Yes, there's some differences in the styles, but the quality of it, I mean, Nike's kind of came out with, you know, the higher end. There's elite styles of these authentic jerseys that are as close as you can get to the pro style, but the stuff from the team is completely different from the retail stuff. The tagging's different, yeah, I mean, it's all different. I mean, now with Nike and Fanatics kind of taking over the game, it's been a lot different with the quality of it. But there's different serial codes and all sorts of different things that, you know, differentiate the jersey from a retail to a game worn or game issued style jersey.
Well, the crazy thing with all this is too, we'll go ahead and we get a lot of blanks, right? So the way that the jerseys work with the teams is you'll go ahead and the jersey comes as a blank, and then they'll have the seamstress or the equipment manager will put on, you know, the number and the lettering for the last name on the back of a jersey. Well, not every single jersey gets numbered and named. So a ton of blanks are left over, and we typically get those blanks to the deals we have with the teams. And we'll sell like a blank for $75 to $100 a piece. Now, if you were to go to like Dick's Sporting Goods and wanted to buy a blank, it's gonna be less quality and you're spend $275 or $225. And it's like, we're selling them online. And I think that's why, like, these true fans, true collectors, they kind of come search us out, because, you know, it's just, you're getting a better product for half the price. Now, with that being said, size runs aren't as good, right? These are big leaguers. These guys are built, you know, so they're not for, you know, women or little kids. But if you are a bigger size, I mean, we got, it's kind of, it's funny to see these jerseys go for $225.
And it's changed a lot too, because now these players, they want the jerseys fitting tighter to their body compared to, you know, 5-10 years ago, especially in the NBA. You know, these guys are wearing 4XL, 3XL stuff, and now they're wearing, you know, large XL. So, I mean, the sizing has changed a lot between the leagues, because players are, you know, wanting it to fit differently compared to what it was before.
No, that's a great point, actually. And the fact that you bring up Jake, because I've been on the eBay Live, and there's some steals to be had, people. That, I mean, these guys are right. If you're lucky enough to catch, you know, a deal, and those jerseys, they go for a lot. The quality is different. The team issued stuff is different. And you mentioned how big the players are. There is a lot of notice. There's a lot of triple XL, right? Or just big dudes. I mean, these guys are monsters. They're modern day gladiators, really, you know. They're a reason those guys are the pros, and we're out here, you know, barely can push our shopping cart back to us to the car.
That is true. Whatever.
Exactly.
I leave it right next to my car.
Yeah. So
I'm the worst.
So, I mean, like, yeah, it's, I mean, that's a great idea, though. If you get a blank, I mean, you have a team-issued quality jersey. You could throw your own name on it, your own number, whatever, if you really want to, and save a bunch of money.
I have a lot of collectors that will buy baseball jerseys from us, and we'll drop ship them to a guy that, you know, I'm really good friends with on the East Coast, and he does customizations, and he actually does authentications for a lot of the big auction houses. But that's what his whole business is. He, you know, he just retired probably in the last 5-10 years, and that's all he does. So I mean, it's a huge business for him.
But on the other side of it too, it's like, we got a deal from Texas Tech, right? And we got a ton of blanks from the Patrick Mahomes days, and we would sell, like, when Patrick Mahomes is running the Super Bowl, we'd sell like 10 blanks a week. And these people, what they're doing is they're going to go ahead, and this is something that, like, there's a lot of, I'm not going to say fraud, but there's sketchy stuff that happens in the game use space. And one of them would be this example of, we have these jerseys that were from 2015 when Patrick Mahomes was on Texas Tech, and they're going to find the size and style that he wore. They're going to go ahead and put his number on the back, and they're going to put his name on the back, and they're going to try to sell it as like a team issued Patrick Mahomes jersey. And that stuff happens all the time. And it's kind of one of these, like, you know, it's just a little sketchy.
No, you know, I hear you, man. It's happened. I mean, it's become more prevalent, like, in news media nowadays, because collectibles and hobbies become a lot more popular. But yeah, it's a big business. Comes the possibility of counterfeits and just, you know, people doing shady stuff to try to make a buck. And you guys see that, you guys know about that. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit common with the blank stuff, and you kind of just have to watch it. And once we kind of figure out who those people are who are buying the stuff from us, we won't sell the stuff to them. But also, you know, once you see someone selling the same thing 5 or 6 different times, it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's obvious that you're selling a counterfeit item, or it's not a team issued item. It's an authentic blank, and that's what they should call it. They shouldn't call it anything from team issue, because the team never made up the jersey or had it, you know, ordered for that player. So, I mean, it kind of happens, and it happens in all 4 sports too. It's just road that we're on, you know. It's kind of, it's a difficult, you know, place to guide the hobby, because we want to sell these, you know, jerseys, but also we have these people who are, you know, taking advantage of the situation. And if you're not a, you know, full-time collector in the game worn space, you won't understand that unless, you know, you do your research. So,
no,
if you see a jersey for $150 and it's Patrick Mahomes, it's probably not right, you know?
No, so that's great information. Good knowledge, guys. Yeah, I always tell people too, whether it's cards, jerseys, or whatever, if the price, unless it's from a extremely reputable seller that you know, if the price is too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. I mean, you know,
we're all in this to make money. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. We're doing this. It's fun to do. But, you know, if you're going to try to maximize your profits, everybody is. You know, you go to the card show, my favorite thing is going to the National, and like, kids walk up to the table and they're like, hey, will you buy this? I'm like, yeah, at what price? Like, oh, 90% of comps. I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to like invest in these guys. You know, I want to buy it for $1, sell it for $2. And all these kids, I mean, 75% of comp, 85% of comps. Like, dude, come find me when you're at 50% of comps. Like, that's my business, you know?
Well, I think now that more and more it becomes popular, I think people are knowing that, hey, you know, that is a business for, you know, a lot of people. And so you only, unless you're PCing it, like you're like investing, like you said, or personally collecting it, you're probably not going to pay what the quote unquote comp is. And that's a whole different, you know, topic in comps when I talk to dealers and buyers and like what's a comp, what's not a comp. I mean, you know, I think there's a happy medium, to be honest with you. I think there is a comp, like what it's sold for, and there's also what's available and what those are going for. And I think as a buyer, you think you got to take everything into account. So for sure, when you guys are like trying to sell stuff to buyers like us, how do you guys pick what you guys want to auction off on your eBay lives? Like, do you do based off what happened last week, what's coming up, what you think is going to be hot, or just, hey, we got a lot of this, let's try to move.
It's a little bit of everything. So our eBay live kind of strategy became one as, so eBay came to us and they said, hey guys, we want you to do the eBay lives. You've been with us for 20 years. We want you guys to do it. And we were a little hesitant. Finally, they convinced us to do it. And it was supposed to be like this learning thing. Like, we're going to just throw different stuff at the wall, see what sticks. But it actually worked out really well for us. Like, at the very beginning, like everything seemed to sell. It seemed to sell at a good price. So we never really pivoted. Like, our original process was going to be like, let's try a little bit of everything and see what sells the best. But truth be told, everything sells at a pretty decent price, and it's fun, and it's things that we don't already, you know, for us, a big expense is to list. You know, you have people, it's going to take, you know, probably a half an hour in labor per item to get up online. So that's going to cost us, you know, $10 an hour. So it's like, we could do that and put it up in a normal auction, or we could just pile all this stuff up and just put it in an eBay live. And my dad just has to pay Massimo and I to go ahead and sell it. And it's, truth be told, it's tons of fun. Like, we love doing it. It's like, I mean, it's one of the highlights. I like every day. It's Wednesday. I look forward to Wednesdays.
You know, it kind of breaks up the day.
Yeah. Big time.
That's how like you mentioned earlier, that's kind of how I just stumbled upon you guys. I bought stuff from Croc Cards before on eBay. Just, you know, hey, if it was a, people here that listen to the podcast know I collect a lot of Michael Jordan stuff. I saw Jordan Carter, so I put on my watch list or whatever, bid on it, or just maybe buy it outright, whatever. Then I got an alert saying you guys were doing a live. I was like, oh, okay, I'll check this out. And it's you two guys, and you guys are like, you know, figuring it out. You could tell in the beginning, but you're having fun. You're being yourselves. You eventually start playing music, which is great. I like how you guys have the picture of the cards at the bottom. I've seen other eBay lives where they don't put the actual item on the bottom, a picture of it, which I didn't get, because I think that helps me know what I'm bidding on, or I can click on it for a little bit more information or whatever. So if you haven't seen it, people, click on the eBay live. It's kind of a fun auction. Like, it's really, it's personal, but yet really loose.
100%. You can, you know, with some things you will make more money than we expect to, and some things it sells for way less than we expect it to. And there's no rhyme or reason to anything, you know. It's just like, and for us, it's a different way for us to sell stuff. And, you know, it's we, like you said, King, dude, we have a 30,000 square foot warehouse just filled with stuff. So it never hurts if we take a loss on something to get it out of here. Like, my mom will be very happy, you know, she will be very happy. It's funny with this whole, like, the warehouse. So we originally had like half of the warehouse, and half of it was rented out to other tenants. And then one of the tenants moved out, and I was in high school at the time and I wanted to play baseball. So my dad put a batting cage in the back, and there was literally this like 12,000 square foot warehouse only had a batting cage. So I'm in high school, I'm hitting there. Next thing you know, I go away for college and I come back, and that warehouse is filled to the brim with baseball cards. Like, literally, to give my dad any room and he will fill it up with just anything. It was kind of funny. So now my mom hates it because he's just like the plague. He is just sprawling everywhere. He bought like another warehouse in Lexington, Michigan, and just, we're shipping stuff up to it constantly. That one's been filled up. It's just,
oh my God. You have another warehouse? My God, the warehouse you guys have already is huge. Like I said, I went and picked up an item I bought, and I got a quick tour, and it's humongous. And to know that you have another warehouse is crazy. I know there's stuff that you guys haven't even gone through. Like, your dad, Croc Cards is just buying, buying, buying. So, I mean, space is money too. So that's what you're saying. Like, even if you can move stuff out, hey, you know, that helps.
Yeah. Well, we got lucky, dude. We're in Detroit. office space and, you know, warehouse space is cheap. If we're in Los Angeles or New York, this model would never work. You know, we wouldn't be able to afford warehousing this stuff. You know, you find we got lucky with just how cheap, and I guess where we're at, and, you know, the Detroit market's a really good market. There is just people that have been collecting their whole lives, and it's just worked out well for us. We, you know, seem to do halfway decent with it. So.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, you're kind of at the mercy when you do these eBay Live things. That's who's just happens to be on for, like, whether it goes really high for an item or really low for an item, right? I mean, do you guys, I've seen it before, you guys ask people what they want to see you guys put up, or, you know, do you guys have things ready to go? Like, hey, I guess, you know, this crowd seems to want more baseball. This crowd seems to want more basketball. This crowd seems to want more, like, you know, clothes or whatever, jerseys.
Yeah, we'll, man, definitely, we'll definitely pick stuff for, you know, the audience of what they kind of want. And we'll have stuff where people just want jerseys or retail. And then you have stuff that people want cards and the, you know, the rookies and all that kind of jazz. So, I mean, it's always depending on the audience of what the person or the collector wants. And we'll kind of stay away from some stuff that doesn't do well, that, you know, that if no one wants retail jerseys, we'll play, you know, we'll start picking cards. So, I mean, it's kind of what the audience wants at the end of the day.
Yeah. And they, the thing they really want is more Mossimo time. They want Mossimo to be in front of that camera more. They want more Moss, less me.
No. They want to see Jake eating his dinner at 6 o'clock every Wednesday.
Oh my God. People get pissed at me. I'll be like eating food and they're like, you're going to get the cards dirty. I'm like, all right, Mossimo, you take over.
Or how to hold the card. That's probably the biggest pet peeve. It's like,
yeah, I mean, that's definitely a thing that, you know, certain collectors are particular about, that's for sure. And I've seen it. Like I said, when I jump on and I see people critiquing or telling you how to do stuff, to me, it's all entertainment. I enjoy it. But
I've got no ego in this. So it's
you guys should do like a theme night. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Jake comes in Hawaiian Wednesdays. Everyone's wearing Hawaiian stuff.
Yeah.
You want to just, let's spice this thing up. Let's, you know.
Well, all right. This Wednesday, tomorrow, I'll be wearing Hawaiian shirt here. I tried to start it off as I would wear like a different jersey we had in the back. And then after like the 30th one, I just got sick and tired of it. I got a little lazy and I just, whatever I wore that day. And then one time my girlfriend was out of town for a week and I just like literally hadn't showered. I looked so bad. It was just like, it was bad, but always so fun.
What you guys, we've mentioned it a couple of times for people that don't know that Kruk Cards, K-R-U-K Cards, it's not an actual retail shop. It's a big warehouse. They do most of their stuff online, eBay and eBay Live and whatnot. And then you guys have a website too and all that stuff too at Kruk Cards. What's it like working in a huge warehouse with just all this stuff everywhere? Like, is it somewhat organized, or is this like someone's basement essentially that you have to go downstairs and like kind of snow? Hey, I got to go through this stuff.
You're right. Both. It's definitely both. So we have the side of the warehouse we took you on, is that's all organized. That's all listed. That's all on eBay. And the other side of the warehouse, that's all to be processed and inventoried. So we have, we'll say a 25,000 square foot warehouse, 12,000 of it is just totally, we have an idea what it is. It's not totally great. The other 12,500, it's like, if I went to one of the guys that does the inventory stuff and I said, I need this, they can find it for us in 3 minutes. Like, it's pretty dialed in. It's like kind of redneck the way it all works. Like, we're not Amazon by any stretch of the imagination, but it you can find your stuff. It's pretty, it's a miracle it happens.
So Moss, if I asked you, hey, Liz, listen, man, I need a Atlanta Hawks jersey from 1993. It's in there. I mean, you can go find it. Like, you guys have it. You can go get it from me.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. When we first started doing like the team deals, or when I first came on board in like 2017, I used to do, you know, every SKU as, you know, whatever the team was. So say it was like the Pistons or, you know, the Bulls, you'd have the SKU range from 1 to 1,000. Well, you know, I kind of started buying way too much. So I just have my own SKU, and basically I can kind of find you any jersey within 3 minutes. If it hasn't sold on, you know, eBay or our website, but yeah, it's pretty simple. I got probably now I'm up to 75,000 SKUs just of, you know, stuff I've bought through the last 5 to 6 years. And I mean, it's probably, I can probably find it for you in 3 to 5 minutes. And It's pretty simple. I mean, our whole system of how we have stuff with our warehouse team is pretty, you know, spot on. And, you know, they pull it, it goes right to the shipper and they send it out. And then we have, you know, UPS and FedEx and the Postal Service coming that day, and it goes out. So if you buy something from us, it'll literally go out, you know, the next day by, you know, 3 o'clock. So, I mean, it's pretty, you know, quick on the turnaround time. It's, you know, you have customers who complain and, you know, oh, it takes a week to get a product or, you know, to get it pulled and shipped. We're pretty, you know, we're one day shipping and handling. So it's pretty interesting. And it just gets better and better with our, you know, our warehouse team. So
yeah, Jake, you've seen this your whole life. Like, how does one acquire all this stuff, like, to fill up two warehouses, not just one warehouse? Like, do you guys, like, do the teams reach out to you guys? Do collectors reach out to you guys? Because you guys aren't buying, like, one box from some old, you know, an old guy retired. Like, you guys are buying like pallets of stuff. How does this happen?
Our mantra since my dad's been in this, and for better or for worse, I don't know, but it's been, we'll buy it all. You know, we're not going to come in and nitpick and take your best stuff and leave you with everything else. Well, you know, I think that's helped out in some sense where you'll get deals that other people wouldn't, because we can go through and we have an avenue to sell commons. We have an avenue to sell junk wax. We have an avenue to sell vintage. Like, it all works out. So with the jersey side of things, it's kind of the same thing where it's, we'll take it all, you know, and which maybe is wrong, because we're never going to get a LeBron James. We're never going to get a Giannis. We're never going to get, you know, Steph Curry, but, you know, we'll get the guy that's in the G League. We'll get a lot of G League guys, you know, that are up and down. Because I think those are more difficult. The teams don't see the value in that, right? They're going to sell that for $175 and these teams are worth $1 billion. And they're like, well, it just piles up and it piles up. And eventually that's when we get the call, you know, and we've kind of made it known in these organizations and these teams that we will buy your excess stuff. So they sell their best stuff, right, at the fan shops, on their auctions, and we get the worst stuff. But the worst stuff is still pretty good to us. You know, it's cool having, you know, I don't know, getting Pistons jerseys, and you're getting, you know, Trey Lyles. Like, you know, that might not be the coolest thing to the Pistons, but to us, it's pretty neat. You know, you get all the different, it's just, it's cool. And every jersey and every team, like, you get to see the different, you know, little intricacies of every jersey. And it's like cool on the back of the NBA jerseys, on like right where your neck is, they have a little championship trophies for how many team, you know, championships they've had. And it's cool to see the different teams, like, oh, the Kings have only won one, or the Pistons have won three. Like, it's cool things like that that kind of makes this more exciting every day.
Well, but plus you guys are doing the work for them, basically, because they, like, hey, listen, we'll give you a great deal, I'm sure, if you take all our stuff. And you're like, yeah, we'll take it all, but we're going to have to piece it off ourselves, which some they're not willing to do. Like you said, they're just going to sell the big name all-star type guys, and you'll take over everything else. And
yeah, and it's very, very antiquated the way that, so like the MLB has a great system with how to identify a jersey or a ball as being used, right? They have their authentication process. They pretty much have a police officer in every single dugout. So when a jersey gets taken off a guy's back, he stickers it and it said, all right, this one was used in this game. Well, they're the only real organization that does that. NFL doesn't do it. NBA doesn't do it. NHL doesn't do it. So it's like, it's just something that we think is a untapped market. You know, no one really seems to, college sports, like right now with the NIL and everything being the Wild West, like college sports, they strip every nameplate off of all the football jerseys at Michigan State. So then they use them year after year, and they just put them away. And this is a market that Moss, me and my dad thinks is something that could be worth $3 to $5 million for every Big Ten team. And, you know, when a baseball team for Michigan State is traveling to UCLA next year, and it's going to cost them $50,000 to go play UCLA in three baseball games, and then they fly back, like, at a certain point in time, I don't think they could use an extra $3 million, you know, and then you're sending the field hockey team to Indiana and you got to pay for a hotel for 35 girls. Like, stuff's expensive. So we're trying to approach these teams with ways to kind of monetize that and, you know, say, look, we don't think you're doing the best job with this. So that's kind of where we're transitioning to and trying to make that happen. Whether or not it happens, I think it'd be interesting to see in 5 years what comes of it.
I think it is going to happen because it's crazy because college sports have become basically a business, you know, education has become second almost. And the fact that they've fallen behind a bit on the monetizing part. I think once you bring that word up to them, they're like, all right, we're listening, you know, like we're all for it. We're going to see how can we make more money here to support, you know, the academics, the athletics, everything.
And it's like you said, it's what we're hearing from some teams and some people is they're just kind of, they're short staffed. You know, it's, they don't have people for it. You have an equipment manager. All right. So football has its own equipment manager, but let's go to baseball, right? They got baseball equipment manager. That same equipment manager is going to take care of the soccer team. They're going to take care of the gymnastics team. It's one person serving three teams that have 30 people on each team. They're just kind of overstaffed. So we think there's a area where we can come in and try to, you know, make it work for the both of us. And it's kind of, you know, my dad's pretty excited about it. This is like the first inning, you know, we're just kind of talking about it, seeing how you can go ahead and make this work. Cause before with NIL and each state has different legalities with what the, cause it's their state funded schools, right? So, what can they do with the excess inventory? It's like this $1 million question, and it's Fanatics is kind of leading the way with some of the stuff they're doing. And we're just going to try to follow in behind and see if pick up the scraps.
Yeah. With NIL and everything, I don't see how this doesn't become huge one day where it's, hey, why wasn't this done? You know, this is so obvious. We should have got on this earlier or something. But we live in Michigan, guys, and so we're lucky enough. We have a rabid college fan base with Michigan State and Michigan, and even the directional schools in Western Central, but then Big Ten country. We're one of the, you know, we're not going to get phased out. They're only adding teams to the Big Ten. Right. So college sports are really, really popular here, and I can see this becoming a big deal, to be honest with you. And, you know, we already know how it is with collectors in the hobby. Give them something else to collect too, and they'll go that way as well.
Right? They're crazy, dude. I was a Michigan State fan for my fifth grade Halloween costume. You know what I mean? Like, I would have bought a game used jersey when I was in fifth grade.
Right?
But yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. So, well, you speak of when you're younger, you guys are, you know, in your 20s. I mean, I've had this thing like where people are like saying, oh, the hobby's cool. Now the hobby's cool. And I'm like, I'm not so 100% sold on that. What I think is cooler, quote unquote, cool people have gotten into the hobby. I don't know if the hobby is, you know, because the heart and soul of the hobby is still there. That dude that, you know, that was called a nerd or a geek that just loved collecting, you know, looking at stats. That guy, you need that guy. That guy's the heart and soul of the hobby. But now it's become more business-like and profitable because I think guys like, I don't know, Drake or Post Malone is collecting Pokemon, or Jake Paul, whoever, you know what I mean? Like, those well-known people now have gotten to the hobby and it's gotten it more notoriety. You guys being younger guys, do your friends, are they into it? Do they collect? Are they like, hey, what's going on? Or do they still think this is uncool? Like, where, from your guys' perspective, how do you feel about the younger people collecting?
I mean, like I was saying earlier, I think I collected cards with my friends when we were in like 5 years old, where we play hockey and we would trade. And then I didn't hear a word about cards. And my dad did this every day. I didn't hear a word about cards until I was like 24. So it was like a 19-year gap where nobody even came up to me about cards. And the next thing you know, it's just like my friends were sending me pictures of what they bought, you know, and they're like, they're all in on it. And I got, like I was saying, some buddies that, you know, made it to the league and they collect their rainbow. You know, they want to get that. And, you know, it's definitely different now than it was. When did you say, Moss?
I definitely have a lot more friends who, you know, they know I work in the space. So they'll send me, like, I was on a golf trip last week and guys like, I'm buying Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm buying this. I'm buying that. And I'm like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, I used to collect cards and autographs and stuff like that. And I never heard of anyone doing that stuff. I was like the only person doing it, you know, and now it's like everyone's doing it, or I'll have people sending me messages on Instagram. Oh, I didn't know you worked for this company, blah, blah, blah. You know, I collect too. I would love to stop by. It's like, oh, you know, it's different. You know, it's, you know, before it used to just be, you know, the old men who you go to the National and you see some people there, and now it's everyone. Now it's, you know, it's good. It's definitely good for the hobby. And I mean, it's just going to keep growing, and there's definitely a lot more cooler people in it now. So.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jake.
I was just gonna say, I think with Fanatics, and I'm not sure how this is gonna shake out, but I think they're smart over there. I think they're gonna make this something that's more culturally relevant. You know, I think they're gonna keep pushing the envelope. And I think they're good. I think originally the way they came in and, you know, I think it's Michael Rubin, he came in with a plan and, you know, he's not going to put his money where he thinks is a dying market. So he came in with a plan and I think the plan's working pretty well.
I think Fanatics is a good idea. I think Fanatics is good for the hobby too. A lot of people are kind of indifferent, but it's definitely
better. I'm not sure yet because I know they've come in hot. That's for sure. They come in aggressive. I just worry about every, this is what I worry about every industry though, is hopefully it doesn't get too greedy. Because you spoke earlier, Jake, it is a business. Everyone is trying to make money. We're all trying to pay bills and things like that, which I totally understand. But then there it gets to a point where we brought up NIL in college. You know what I mean? People, if we're going to put money over everything, eventually it's not going to be fun anymore. And I think with collecting, the heart of it was fun, you know? And I don't mind the investing part because it makes my collection maybe more valuable. But I think the whole start of it was collecting was fun because you said you collected maybe to your five or six and you stopped. There's a huge gap in between there. I think
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Collecting always started young, but then everyone goes through this huge gap of, dude, I got a car, I'm into girls, you know what I mean? Right. I play sports. Like, I dropped cards at the age of, like, you know, 15, 14. I mean, right around when I started getting, you know, into girls and, like, like I said, a driver's license, all that stuff, like, I just stopped, all right, face of the earth. And I'm like, I got back into it when I got, like, a regular job. I'm like, oh, I can afford to buy maybe some more cards now. And then I don't think the hobby is, you don't want that gap anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
You want to, like, kind of just, hey, at least still be in it. And then, like, whether you're 17, 18, 20, like, still be involved. Because I think, like, you guys and me, everyone went through that gap. And I think that's where hopefully Fanatics says, hey, it's just, let's keep it going. It doesn't have to be full speed ahead all the time. But, like, hey, don't completely just fall off the face of the earth for a decade. You know?
Yeah, like a steady stream, slow and steady wins the race, the old adage, right?
Yeah, the one thing I tell, you know, collectors or my friends or anything of that, I just say buy what you want or buy what you want to collect. I mean, the whole investing thing is great, but as you know, for myself, I just buy stuff that I, you know, I like or collect. You know, I collect, you know, certain teams or stuff like that. I'm not here to try to invest and say, hey, you know, this card is $25, it's going to be 102 years or 3 years. If you're in that kind of ball game in this market, it's kind of, you know, you should sell when you think, you know, you're going to make some money. And if you hold stuff, it could go down. So, I mean, it's kind of.
And look at all this stuff. If you're going to go put your money in current guys, I mean, you never know. What if Ohtani actually was placing those bets, right? You put $10,000 in Ohtani and now it's worth nothing. You never know. Like, never know. Like, Mike Trout, is he going to just one day say, I've been hurt too much, I'm done? Like, Andrew Luck did it. There's too many question marks around it. And like,
or you're Wander Franco and you're hooking up with like underage girls.
100%. I didn't want to go there. It's your show, but you did. Yeah.
Hey, but the point is, it's volatile, just like any, it's kind of like the stock market in a way, you know? So I'm not against investing. If you want to invest, you want to flip, that's fine, but do be careful. You don't, you know, spend more than you can afford to lose. It's kind of like anything else. It is gambling.
100%.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Well, and I think about the guys that I want to put money in. I remember when it was Dame time and he was going off a couple of years ago during COVID, and I had this great idea. I'm like, Victor Oladipo. No one's thinking about him now. I'm like, I'm putting some money in Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, I forgot.
I'm just not good at it. So like, I want to put money in Spencer Torkelson a couple of years ago. Oh, and now God. He's in AAA. So like, that's why I think I'm pessimistic on it, because I'm just brutal at it.
You and me both, Jake. That's why I try to just stay with Jordan. Like, it's the safest, most conservative. Yes.
He's the smartest guy in the world right here. Yeah. King, we got him. Just stick with Jordan.
His resume is already handed in, you know, so people know.
Exactly.
So before I let you guys go, though, Detroit Sports Spectacular is coming up. It's the first one ever. They're hoping to make it like a yearly thing. You guys are going to be there, right? What do you guys know what booth, what location you're going to be at, and what are you guys bringing with you?
We are at booth 145 and 146. We're just strictly bringing just Detroit Pistons team issued gear, and I think we're going to bring Tiger hats as well, maybe some other stuff. Not really card stuff. Usually for the National, we'll do this. This is our only show that we've done other than the National, or that we're going to do in the next month. But it's going to be interesting. Jake and I are going to be there. Just all team issued Pistons gear, stuff that we bought from the team. Jake, you aren't.
Yeah, okay. Have you seen the autographs? The guys that are doing autographs.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've had one of the guys that's running it, and I've had other people that are going to be on there. It's a huge lineup.
They did a great job. I mean, Moscow was running me through the lineup yesterday. I'm like, he's really good. Oh, he's good too. Like, Joe Montana's going to be there. Barry Sanders, tons of good guys. Ben Wallace. I mean, it's they did a good job. So it'll be fun.
Yeah,
that's gonna be good. It's gonna be a show.
Yeah, a ton of local guys. I think a bunch of 84 Tigers for people that are trying to collect that whole team or whatever. Like you said, Ben Wallace, Barry. But then National, you mentioned Joe Montana. Anthony Richardson, I think, is a big one that they got there.
Yeah.
Apparently. Yeah.
So random.
Yeah, it kind of is. Random. Hey,
so random.
I'm a big AR fan. So
that's you're going, cool. Yeah. Though, you said, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be down there probably Saturday. I'll definitely stop by. I'll say hi to you guys for sure. Sweet. I'll try to make my rounds best I can.
Yeah, if you don't say hi to us, I won't be offended. It's all right. I know how things go.
Is it just going
to
be you two?
Yeah, it's just us.
Man, you guys are going to be busy, man.
We're always busy. And then I got a little golf tournament coming up this week, so I'm going to go practice while Massimo's slinging some jerseys by himself. So we always have a good time, though. I'll be good.
Dude, so actually there is... I was talking to your dad. I had your dad on, Jake, like a couple of months or so ago. And I told him there was, you guys, I don't know if you still have it, but I've been eyeing this Spud Webb, like warm-up outfit. It's like the pants and the top, like the shooting shirt. And like we mentioned earlier, how these guys are huge. Like I can't fit any of this stuff. That's the one I can fit into. So that's the one I want. I'm like, dude, I'm 5'8". You know what I mean? Like he was like listed at 5'7". I think it was. I'm like, I'd put that on. Like, it was like, that's awesome. And so I hope you guys still have it. Maybe I'll tell you guys to bring it down there or something, but.
Yeah, dude, that's funny. Definitely. Cause I was in the same boat, dude. Like all that 90s stuff is so sick, but I can't fit in any of it. I'm a normal white guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just normal. Like why couldn't professional athletes be normal?
Yeah. That's the only thing about wearing their stuff. Yeah. But, I appreciate the time, guys. Kruk Cards, KRUK. They do eBay Live weekly on Wednesdays. Check them out on Facebook. You guys are on Instagram as well, right?
Yeah, the Kruk Cards is our Instagram. And if you have any complaints, just complain to Massimo. He runs that. So
send him a DM. Just go right to Massimo's DM and just complain.
And I'll get you to the right person too to complain to. It's not me, but I'll get it to the right person.
Yeah. All right. Well, I also have Instagram and Facebook, guys. Kang Collects, KHANG Collects. Also doing YouTube. Subscribe to that. Just open up product and, just showing off some of the PC. Make sure to subscribe to all that stuff. Guys, I appreciate it. We'll have you back on again. Check in on the summer, how the eBay Live stuff has been going.
Yeah, dude. It was fun. Really appreciate it. We'll see you this weekend.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Let somebody know, like I said before, if you enjoy the podcast, spread the word around. And as always, keep collecting. We'll be right back.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.